My name is Ashley Watena. I am 37 years old. Today's date is Friday, October 15, 2021. We are in Columbus, Georgia. The name of my interview partner is Amber Camp, and she is my fiance.
Hi, my name is Amber Camp. I am 39. Today is Friday, October 15th, 2021. We are in Columbus, Georgia. My interview partner is Ashley Watena, and she is my fiance. So, do you remember how we met?
I know it was through work. Had to have been. I imagine either at a... since we both work in the hospitality and tourism industry at the time, with me working for the Visitors Bureau and you working for a hotel, I would assume we met at one of our hotel monthly meetings.
Most likely, yes.
All right.
And during the course of our relationship, how did you know that I was the one?
Before we started dating or?
During our dating relationship.
I feel like I knew you were the one just throughout the time we spent together. I always, and I've mentioned this to you before, that I always wanted to find a partner that had the best attributes of my mom and my dad. And that was you. So I knew at that moment, just with your kindness, what you do in the household, raising our son, and then also just being the not only the homemaker, but also the person that changes out light bulbs and does the ceiling fans and everything else, which surrounds me and my dad. You had that side. So you had both perfect sides that I was looking for. How about you?
So there were several moments that really solidified that I was in love and that you were the one. One, that our conversations have always been super easy. Like, you are the easiest person to talk to, even in those hard times when we may be arguing or upset, it's still easy to talk to you. I feel like we're almost best friends immediately, and we're able to be best friends but also be partners at the same time. Your kindness, your intelligence, your work ethic, you being hardworking, you stepping up to be a mother to our son. There's just so many reasons why, but those are some of the main few.
To add, just so I don't, I also admire your intelligence, the way that you're raising Kai, and just knowing how hard you've worked being a single mother, and to do what you've done also was super attractive. So it was almost one of those things, whereas after maybe our first or second official date, that I knew that you were the one.
Yeah, it's very hard to slow our relationship down.
Right.
I think we did a good job, but right, it was definitely hard to slow it down.
Fair enough.
It was like a freight train.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite times together?
Favorite times together? I enjoy the small things. I just enjoy, of course, I love the trips. I love going, whether it's, you know, we're big in the outdoors, so whether it's us hiking together or paddleboarding or going on vacation to the beach, to the mountains, traveling wherever, I love that. But for me, it's the small things. It's
I agree.
It's going to the grocery store together. It's going to just go pick up food together. It's the small things that, for me, mean the most. I cherish the longer times we have together and the vacations, but I like my alone time, but also I want you with me. So anytime I'm doing something, I'm more likely I want you next to me doing those things.
I completely agree. Yeah, even just like cooking dinner and you helping me prep or just being in the kitchen with me. Yeah, it's those little things. I agree. Our cuddles are, yeah. I mean, just right. That. We could do that all day.
Right.
What do you think our most difficult times have been?
We've had a few. Nothing that's out of our control necessarily, but one. Just us coming together and me coming from being by myself to an instant family is a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
But we've handled it with grace, and now we have a thriving 15-year-old son. The most difficult time we've had together so far was out of our control.
Mm-hmm.
Was my health care.
Yeah, that I agree. Yeah, that was probably the most difficult. So, whenever you were diagnosed with CKD, what were some of your, and CKD being chronic kidney disease,
mm-hmm.
what were some of the things that kind of scared you the most or seemed the most out of control for you?
Thanks for making me cry.
I'm so sorry.
For me, it was just unknown, and I truly feel like you were placed in my life for a reason. If it was up to me, I would have never gone to a doctor. I had a headache and never thought I would take some aspirin and it'd be fine. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have gone and then wouldn't have discovered I had an issue, which was life-threatening. I learned a lot about what chronic kidney disease is. Not realizing that I had stage 5 kidney disease, and I was, 10% kidney function towards the end there. But the out of control part for me was learning that I can't control everything in my life, and that's probably the biggest struggle, because I am very much a control freak in terms of wanting everything in a place and being in control, and I strive for that. I strive to be able to, and what you and I talk about this all the time is that I like to not have to depend on anybody else but myself. I've gotten to where I've been by myself and with help, of course, but mainly through my work ethic. And I just don't like relying on people to come through for me. So that was the biggest thing. But in terms of things that were just the unknowns of, they said you have high blood pressure, you have headaches, we'll run some lab work on you, and then went on vacation to go see our friends, and they're saying, no, I'm in the ER
mm-hmm.
because of a potassium spike. And, having a nurse in the ER say, oh, you probably have to go on dialysis or you're going to need a transplant. And it's just, what?
Right.
I'm healthy. I'm 36 and healthy.
Right.
What's going on? And from there, just to go from being a healthy person who didn't have a care in the world about, because I'm, I work out, I'm healthy, I thought I ate well, to going to changing my entire lifestyle around the disease that I was still learning about.
Right.
And to go from his constant doctor's appointments where we just weren't sure if I was going to make it. It was one of the things where you and I were at a concert together Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And you would give me that the tickets for Christmas.
Right.
And in my head, I said, I don't know if I'm going to be here.
Right.
I may not make it to Christmas, to October 2021. Uh-huh. So it's a great gift, but I may not be here to enjoy it. So going from just not a care in the world to going to, this may be the end. I need to have a will. I need to have my ducks in a row so that I can take care of Amber and Kai if I'm not here anymore. So it was tough. It was you were right beside me the whole time. So that uncontrollable shaking and not knowing and trying to put on a good front in front for the public to see. But when I get home, you saw the other side of me. Who couldn't sleep at night and who couldn't do anything. Just, had to constantly figure out what was going to work for me to get my head around it and learn that I can only control things that are within my control.
Right.
I can't control everything else. And without having you by my side, I wouldn't have been able to be the person I was going through that without you.
Well, it was really the least I could do.
How did that impact you?
It definitely scared the ever living crap out of me. it's crazy to know that we both thought each other were healthy and we stayed active. And I mean, the same as you, I thought that we ate relatively healthy. And to go from, you know, just me thinking that you had, you know, migraines to, oh, your kidneys are failing was like a bomb dropped.
Right.
I mean, it completely like turned our world upside down.
Yeah.
And for us to navigate all of that and not having a lot of information at first,
right.
It was almost overwhelming. I definitely tried to keep my emotions at bay just because I know that you needed more help than I did because I wasn't going through this. I needed to be there for you to go through this.
Right.
And I definitely went into like research mode and tried to find out as much information about this as possible. And it was crazy that during this whole process that we had to actually hire a dietitian because nobody, like doctors really don't know about nutrition. They just kind of give you a page long of kind of what not to eat, but they don't tell you much at all.
Eat white rice and chicken.
Yeah, basically, yes. Yeah. And it was very, that part was frustrating because like I was like, I knew that there were ways to help prolong whatever we needed to do until, you know, you either got on dialysis or that you could either get a transplant.
Right.
There was ways. And then as soon as the doctor said that you needed a transplant, I knew immediately that I'd want to get tested to try to at least donate. That way you get a kidney.
Yep.
And for that whole testing process was, I'm glad it's thorough, but it was, you know, lots of testing and lots of blood work and, you know, going back and forth to Atlanta to go to Emory. It was a lot, but I would not change it at all. Like, I enjoyed the time together. I mean, even the car rides, just riding up there together. And even though I know that you were stressed out and it was scary, I enjoyed just being together.
Yeah, it was one of those things where with COVID going on, and it almost gave us that, I hate that it's happened to us,
mm-hmm.
but it was almost one of those, if it was going to happen, that was the best time for it to happen.
I agree.
Because with both of our work, we had more downtime, and we were able to almost focus more on my health and mm-hmm. our relationship. And just before we even found out about everything, it was one of those things where people started working remotely, and we both worked from home. And it was a thing where it either kind of makes or breaks your relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it made us stronger.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We already had that going into it. And then to top it off with finding out you have a health emergency, it really just puts into perspective and focuses you in on what actually matters in life.
Right.
And so if anything, coming out of this, which is, we're on the other side of it now, which is fantastic,
mm-hmm.
but you really come out of it and you just have this whole new outlook on life and perspective, and you realize, you know, what actually matters.
Right.
It's family. It's your health. It's your life. It's memories.
Yeah.
That you can't take. You can't money. As much as I, you know, before this, you and I talk about money all the time because I'm such a stickler for budgets and spreadsheets and saving to retire. And it's one of those things now where it's, yeah, it matters, but what kind of memories are we making? What are we doing for us, for our family, to set our son up for success in the future and for this, you know, is, you know, you used to want to go into work early and stay late now, so you want to get home because this is what matters, family and you and Kai. So it really just, it's a blessing in disguise because it makes you really, really thankful for what you do have and how can you give back.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it first, but yes, I do think that you being diagnosed was a blessing in disguise because I really think, like, we were already close.
Right.
But this really brought us closer in more than one way. And mm-hmm. I think that if we can get through this and if we get through COVID and not have any arguments that, you know, or blow up, you know, just minor little things, then we can get through anything.
I agree.
Is there anything that you regret after learning about your disease?
I don't have, I tried to never have regrets on anything, because of course I would always say that, you know, if I could have found you sooner or realized that, we were friends and worked acquaintance for 14 or so years mm-hmm. before we ended up becoming together and being mm-hmm. partners. But the time was right for a reason. And we both talked about this, how everything happens for a reason mm-hmm. and the timing worked out the way it should have.
Mm-hmm.
That you came in, we both came into each other's life at the right time where we were both getting out of relationships and reached out to you to go for a coffee. And then, of course, you awkwardly asked me to go hiking one day, which that was fun. But I don't have regrets. It would be, I think I focused my life so much on my career, my education, my career, money, that all those things are very important to me still. But they don't have a high priority as they used to. Right. They're still very high. And I'm appreciative for what I do for work, because I can't say that most companies that would let their staff member, you know, work remotely or take the time off that's needed to get mentally healthy and physically healthy again,
right?
Which mine did, and so did, you know, so does yours.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very fortunate to work for companies that are just get it. They get the human side of the job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the only regret is just working too much and not having enough time, because, you know, being home more. That's probably one of the biggest things is when we first started dating, it was, I've always put work first above everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've seen, just knowing that, you know, I found the right person who I want to spend my life with, it makes you change what matters. And I thought about that before got diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, and now more so than ever. Is you want to spend time with the one you love the most.
Mm-hmm. I think we spend
a lot of time together. Sometimes too much.
No, it's not. No, I love it. So if you were able to give advice to somebody about chronic kidney disease, mm-hmm. what would it be?
The main thing I would always say, and I also want to make sure that we talk about the good outcome. I don't know if that's included in your question. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any advice I would give to anybody is that, you know, I'm, again, 36, healthy, no issues at all. I had high blood pressure, but my doctors never made it a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I would say is if your doctor's not taking it seriously, then maybe you're not advocating for you. You have to advocate for yourself mm-hmm. and your own health,
mm-hmm.
whether that's mental or just in physical. And just because you think you're healthy, you don't know what's going on mm-hmm. internally.
Right.
And with everything, with your organs and everything else, I can't say enough to get a physical every year, get blood work, get routine, get routine labs.
Yep.
Because you never know. And if they had done this for me years ago, they could have caught it,
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't have been, oh gosh, you're in stage 5 kidney failure, you have 10% kidney function, you may die.
Yeah.
Where it could have been, okay, we're seeing something here.
Right.
Let's go ahead and prevent this now through medicine, through your eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change some things up.
Right.
That'd be the biggest thing is just, you know, be aware of your body. Don't just think because you're young, you're fine, and you're mm-hmm. not. Especially through this whole process, You see more and more stories coming out, and you realize that chronic kidney disease is very common. It's like right. 1 in 3 people
yeah.
will have this. And the fact that it may not be preventable 100%, but you can take steps to help prolong your kidney function. It's made me an advocate for anything donor-related and health-related.
Mm-hmm.
Just being mentally aware to take care of yourself. And I was one of those people who never went to the doctor unless right. I had to.
I know.
Because I don't want to go to doctors. I don't want to do, because they always, in my opinion, they always try to find something wrong with you. But I wish somebody would have found this.
Right.
That's the biggest thing I would take away is that just being aware of, just because you think you're healthy, you don't know everything. And just ask. Ask for labs. Mm-hmm. Ask for routine lab work. Ask for things that doctors make them check. Make them do the job. And just check to make sure nothing's wrong.
Yeah. I think the only thing I would add to that would be a lot of us are very self-aware of what's going on with our body. And if you think there's something wrong, listen to it and right. voice that.
Yeah.
Because I know that a lot of people don't. They'll say, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or, right. no, I'll walk it off. Or
So basically you're talking about me before
yes,
this.
Yes, I am.
Where you're very aware of your body, and I was not. And now, of course, I think any little thing, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need to call my doctor. But before then, I was like, oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I have a headache. I'll take some aspirin. No mm-hmm. big deal. Mm-hmm. And you realize, too, Tylenol is not the best thing for your kidneys.
Ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen, excuse me. Yes. I take Tylenol now. Yes, that's all I can take. So I used to take ibuprofen all the time. That's not a good thing
right.
for me ever again.
Right.
And also just being aware of all the biggest thing, too, to come out of this is getting a dietitian and really learning about plant-based and how processed foods, what they do to your body. And it's just not talked about enough.
Right.
About how we can all be just healthier people by what we put into our bodies every day.
I agree.
And being aware yeah. and treating our body better.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I don't think that enough doctors advocate for healthy eating because they haven't learned
right.
how much nutrition can affect your body. I mean, if you can reverse heart disease and help, you know, heart disease and kidney disease all by nutrition,
right.
then it should be more of a focus point
right.
as well.
They just give medication.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So I want to talk about, so after our testing
mm-hmm.
that we went through at Emory, for me to be a donor and
right.
for you to be a recipient.
Right.
Can you take me through like your side of the testing and kind of what you went through?
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun testing, a lot of doctor's appointments, meeting with numerous doctors at Emory Transplant, which is, if you ever have anything, Emory is 100% the mm-hmm. best.
Yep.
Their transplant team is phenomenal.
Yes, they are.
I'm fortunate. We're fortunate that we're so close to Atlanta, and to have Emory
mm-hmm.
is just a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, it was a lot of testing, a lot of scans, mm-hmm. thinking that, you know, one, you're trying to figure out, am I even eligible for a transplant? Because you don't know that for a fact. And being on those calls and hearing the nurse say, oh, yeah, no, you're eligible. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Because there's so many unknowns and just not knowing if you're going to be eligible to even get put on the transplant list, which, you know, that's a scary concept to not be able to be on that list. But going through MRIs and, you know, for me, they did the MRI and I asked the question, well, what's the MRI for? And it's, oh, well, it's if you are able to, you know, if you get a transplant, so we know where to position the new kidney that would
mm-hmm.
go in.
Mm-hmm.
And then going from that to them saying, hey, we know it's when your MRI is kind of blurry. Can you come back in? We need to do a CT scan.
Right.
And then from there, learning I have some random
histoplasmosis
on my lungs.
Fungal.
I have nodules on my lungs. And what's that? So going from them finding nodules to saying, okay, that could be cancer. That could be this.
Right.
To saying, no, we think it's an infection. And luckily it turned out to be histoplasmosis, which is a not as common fungal infection down here in Georgia, I guess. And they kept asking me questions of, well, have you been around bats? Have you been in caves? Have you been
around birds?
Yeah. All these questions that I just know I haven't. I have no idea how I got this. But you know, so adding on to the list, having to have a wedge resection surgery on my lungs to remove a lower left section of my lung just to make sure that it isn't cancer.
Right.
Because then that's a whole new ballgame.
Right.
And so going through that scarcity mindset of, well, what? Wow. One more thing to come on the plate, right?
Yeah.
So one more curveball. But then fortunately, it was just a matter of, nope, it's just a fungal infection. You're on medication for a while.
Yeah.
And then luckily just got off that medication. But
right.
yeah, just that. But it's just a lot of testing just to make sure that you're able to receive a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, hopefully finding a match to be a donor before you have to get on dialysis.
Right.
And then learning about, you know, here's plan A, here's plan B, and just going through the steps. How about for you on the wanting to be a kidney donor side?
So I've always known that I wanted to donate.
Mm-hmm.
I never really, and I've told you this before, I never really put much effort into it, because
mm-hmm.
I always, and we talked about this before, that we always feel things happen for a reason, right, and when they're supposed to happen.
Right.
And I think the reason why is because God knew that he wanted me to wait and try whenever you found out you had CKD. So I always knew I wanted to be a kidney donor,
right,
or, you know, some donor, kind of donor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm a donor after I pass away, but, I, you know, living donor is kind of pretty cool.
Right.
And it was a lot of, so I had a CT scan, I had x-rays, I had blood tests, and the blood tests were kind of what determined, you know, my kidney function and if I had any crazy antibodies or if I had any, you know, absurd viruses that could rule me out as a kidney donor.
Right.
And they did not find anything on mine that they, at least they didn't tell me about.
Right.
So I know that whenever I received the email from my coordinator about me being a donor,
mm-hmm.
I was sitting in the car,
yep,
and this was right after your wedge surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at your, I think it was like your 6 week or.
It was my, with my follow-up appointment.
So 2 week.
It was my follow-up appointment for my, after my lung surgery. I was there for blood work and then meeting with the surgeon,
mm-hmm,
to post-op.
Right.
To check on everything.
Yes. Yeah,
having to have x-rays done to make sure anything was going on with my lungs.
Yeah, so I guess it was around 2 weeks then.
Right.
I didn't realize it was that soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I know whenever, of course, because of COVID, I couldn't come in with you.
Right.
So I was sitting in the car, and I just happened to check my email.
Right.
And now I wish I could have waited and made it like a big hadoo, but it was so shocking and emotional that, of course, I had to call and tell you,
yep,
that I was able to be a donor.
Correct.
And not only be a donor, but be able to donate directly to you. And for a non-relative match,
right,
it's like 1 in 100,000,
right,
that are a match. So for me to be able to donate was just amazing in itself. And then not only be able to just donate, but donate directly to you. Like, I was an emotional mess. And
you called me right away, yeah.
Calling, and like, I was like, tears flowing down my face.
Yep.
But it was like not a, it was like one of those like happiest,
oh yeah,
tears that I've ever cried.
Yep.
And it was almost like I'm still in, like, I'm,
yeah,
still in shock, even though,
exactly,
I've already donated. I'm still in shock that I was able to donate to you.
Exactly. I can remember being at Emory, and I was going to get my x-ray, and I had to go up for labs, and so my schedule was kind of wonky and,
mm-hmm,
a little frustrating, just trying to make my timelines work, and everything was behind schedule, so they were putting me behind schedule to meet with my surgeon, and just in that mood of, oh, you know, trying to get everything done, you can't be with me,
mm-hmm,
because you're not having me in the car, and I'm sitting there, and I'm rolling my sleeve up to get my lab work done, and I get a phone call from you, and I ask the lady, you know, can I please take this call, because it's my fiancé. And going from that mindset of just, you know, a little bit of frustration and whatnot to crying with you on the phone, because,
mm-hmm,
you get to donate directly to me. Like,
yeah,
you're my match. I mean, I still remember the lab tech. She was like, well, girl, that's your fiancé. We were fiancés at the time, right? We're not,
yes,
yet. We were,
yes.
Okay, I'm trying to remember the timeline. Yeah, we were engaged, and I remember the lab tech saying, they're donating their kidney to you. You gotta get married. You can't ever leave that person. You're indebted to life for that for that individual, and you know, how lucky and how fortunate I am to have somebody that would even consider donating and having the risk of going through a surgery just to be able to, you know, give me life, second chance at life. It's just, it's incredible. And I know we always talk about, we joke that we're the perfect match. Mm-hmm. And really, we were the perfect match before all of this.
Right.
And if anything, this has solidified that, you know, we're in each other's lives for a reason.
Yep.
And we are that perfect match.
Yep. I completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm trying not to cry here.
I feel like I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I always cry. I try to be tough, and I'm always a little, I'm weak.
I try to be the one that holds it together.
Yeah.
So after we got word that we got, that I was a match, and that I would be able to donate directly to you, I know that it was, the frustrating part was like, okay, let's get it done. Come on,
yeah.
You know, when can we get it done?
Let's go. Can we do it yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were like that before we even found out
exactly
that I was a match. So this was February of 2021.
Correct.
And we had to wait for your lungs to heal,
right,
or your lung to heal, mm-hmm, from surgery. And they also wanted to finish, at least get some months under your belt for the antifungal.
Correct.
And I remember when they finally released you,
mm-hmm,
from the infectious disease doctor at Emory.
Right.
And you were able to be put officially on the transplant list.
Right.
That was probably like one of those days. It was like so exciting because,
yeah,
we knew that it was around the corner.
Right.
I know that as soon as you were put on the list, I even called my coordinator. I was like, when can I,
yes,
when can I go ahead and get this scheduled? Let's get this going.
Right.
And they finally gave us a call and let us know that the surgeon kind of gave me,
mm-hmm,
the option of when to choose. And of course, I'm like, oh, what's the soonest I can do?
Yep.
And that ended up being May 27th, right, of 2021.
Yes.
A new day for us.
It's now our kid anniversary.
Yes.
We now have, yes, so I now officially have your kidney,
yes,
inside of me. Betsy,
yeah,
Bean.
Yeah.
She's doing very well. Knocking it out of the park. Overachiever.
What
just like
expect?
Her mama. So I have that. I have your kidney running, you know, with me now, always. And,
mm-hmm,
and she's doing fantastic. Better than I've ever felt, honestly. It's just given me a whole new leash on life in terms of how healthy I feel. And now that we're back, we're 4 months, a little over 4 months post-op,
mm-hmm,
and it's just, we have, it wasn't always the best right after. It took us some time, which you expect, mm-hmm, longer than we both thought, probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
but
for
we
sure, me,
but yeah, but now that we're both back, like full steam, it's trucking along. What did it mean to you to be able to donate directly to me?
There's no words. Literally, there's no words in the dictionary to be able to describe that. Grateful, thankful, appreciative. I mean, and that's just putting it lightly.
Yeah.
I mean, just, it was everything.
Right.
Like, it really was. Like, to be able to donate to you was everything. And I didn't care who I donated to, but I'm so happy that I was able to donate to you. Like,
me too.
Because you have that piece of me.
Great.
And I know that's probably like morbid or, you know,
no,
crazy sounding, but we had each other's heart, but now you literally have another piece of me.
Right.
So I think it's pretty cool that
I
we had that for us.
I'm fortunate that, you know, God put you in my life for a reason.
Yes.
And, it, you know, and the fact that you donated to me and you made such a selfless act to do that. You were going to do it to anybody. I mean, because you're just that kind of person that you would want to help anybody you can. But the fact that you helped me, you know, it again solidified that. You know, you asked in the very beginning, what made me fall in love with you? it's just your, yeah, it's your heart, it's your kindness. And then whenever you talk about when we do get married, you know, sickness and health. I mean, we've already got the sickness under our belt. We've already had to go through that challenge, and you've already stepped up to the plate. There's nothing we can't conquer together.
I agree.
Because you've already, you know, you've done so much. And there's just no words. Because it's just it's something you naturally want to do. But to a common person, it's not something that people do every day. You know, with my family, it was my dad who wanted to donate or try to donate. And no offense to my pops, but he's a little too old.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want 70-something-year-old kidney. So just the fact that you gave me a healthy, thriving kidney, that's just, with my labs now, it's just incredible to see what I was at.
Yeah.
My kidney function and all those numbers and things I had to learn this past year. We both learned together this past year. Just to see it now, what it is today, is incredible.
I mean, your kidney function now is better than most people with two perfectly functioning kidneys.
Yeah.
So that, yeah.
Yep.
I'm very thankful that it matched so well.
Perfect match.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I know that whenever, now that we're like 4 months post-op, I feel better now than I did before donating, which is crazy. And I don't know if it's just because we, you know, are more active. And of course we've always tried to eat relatively well, and we continue to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like my body was built to have only one kidney, and God knew that I only knew that I was going to be better with one kidney. So I just feel better, and it's crazy. So it's kind of like we both feel better.
We're really doing this both. I think if anything, it's also made us advocates now for organ donation.
Yes.
Which, you know, agree, we both had it on our license that we want to give our organs once we're off, you know, we're not here anymore.
Yeah.
Please use our organs to continue.
Yeah.
And other people. But it's just now it's so much more. It's, you know, we wear the lapel pins. We have the flags at our house. Anybody who asks, we try to make people aware of living donation, because that's something that people don't talk about as much. Is you think about that after you pass, but mm-hmm. what about now?
Yeah.
With whether it's bone marrow or whether it's an actual organ, how can you make a difference in someone's life? And so as a donor, and then now, and as me as a recipient, it's telling that story,
mm-hmm.
and advocating for donation is a new thing that we're really just, you know, really proud of and want to tell our story to anybody who will listen, because the more we tell our story, hopefully somebody else will hear that and have hope and think, oh, wait, I can do that.
Yeah, and I know that you joked and messed with me about all the kidney shirts that I bought, but it was really
at least to eight.
Yeah. I wanted to be able to wear those to advocate.
Right.
Because it really is a talking point, and we've met so many cool people because of this.
You really do. We have new friends that we never would have known before if it wasn't for you know, you donating a kidney to me. And it's just been, it's been a wild journey, but it's been a great one.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to say, hey, we had surgery and all these things happened, but the outcome is so much, there's so much greatness and appreciation that have come out of this. And whether it's, you know, me appreciating you even more so now than ever, which I've always appreciated you and admired you, and it's just given me a whole, you know, a whole new outlook. And then our son gets to see that. Our son sees his mom stepping up and donating her kidney to help save me. It just, you know, it helps set a, you know, be a role model for him and his kindness and what he can do now. And it's telling the story over and over, so people will just, it's a positive story, that when it's one that I want to always tell,
mm-hmm.
is to anybody who will listen, I just want to advocate for organ donation.
Yep. Donate life.
Yep. Agree. Well, 5 is that it. I love you and thank you.
I love you. And you're worth every pain, every stressful moment that we've had. You're worth all that and more.
I'm pretty annoying sometimes, so I know. So, but you chose this.
I did. I choose it every day.
You're stuck with me.
I choose it every day.
And I'm literally stuck with you.
Yeah.
Now with the kidney. All right.
Well, thank you for sitting down and talking with me. I appreciate it. I know we talk about it every once in a while, but it's nice to sit down and just have a conversation face to face about it.
No, I agree. And just it's a matter of, and I want to thank you just because, you know, I mentioned it, I wouldn't know where I'd be without you. And while I was going through all of this, so were you, just in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to be the support person. But internally, you're still doing a lot of the same things I had to go through, you went through as well. But I had to lean on you, and you didn't have me to lean back on because I was so emotionally entrenched in this that it's just all I can do is repay you every day with my love and just know that we're going to have a bright future together.
Well, you do that. You do a good job of that.
Thanks, babe.
Thank you.